Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a cheeky one. Square!
Hello and welcome to episode 223 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
It was a game of two halves, night and day. I think Steve Hensman on the fan cams on YouTube pretty much said every cliche going.
Yeah.
But that's why you should stay till the end, Tommy.
Absolutely. I don't think as many left as maybe has been spoken about, but I think a few probably did. But yeah, I mean, it was literally that, mate. Game of two halves. But credit to all of them, because I think quite easily just gone, it's not our night, you know, we haven't got loads to play for, we're having a decent season, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, they really stepped up second half and gave us something to enjoy, mate. So, yeah, it was a really enjoyable one. Certainly didn't think at half time. If I turned to you and said, this could be one we remember, I mean, I don't think anyone predicted that coming. So, yeah, it ended up being a really good night, mate.
So, obviously, there were some jubilant Cherries fans at full time. Tiggs was the man on the mic, and here are some of the best opinions outside Dean Court.
Here we are outside Dean Court. I don't really know what to say. We were 3-0 down and then we ended up winning the game 4-3. What do you think of that, Ethan?
Another stressful game, to be honest.
It was stressful, wasn't it?
First half, we were dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. And second half, we just came alive. Just came alive.
What do you think changed?
Probably the half-time team talk and the substitutions, to be honest.
Hey, Rich, how you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thanks.
I saw you at half-time and you were talking about the long journey that you came down for to come watch this game, and you put in the miles probably more than most. He's 25. Yeah. And you were deflated, to say the least.
I think we all were. I mean, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we were absolutely that brilliant in the second half either. I don't know what happened to them. They just capitulated in the second half, but we took full advantage of it and did what we needed to do. And brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I think we can be on the beach now.
Hopefully. You think so?
Yeah. Well, people were saying we're on the beach before the game.
Yeah.
Or at half time, certainly. And it looked like at half time, but 35 points should be okay.
It should be okay, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
What a turnaround. What a turnaround indeed. Man of the match is probably going to be the same as everyone else, I imagine. But
I suppose it's got to be Semenyo.
Yeah.
I've got to say that because my wife's in love with him. So,
okay.
Yeah. So,
I'm sure a lot of wives are.
I'm sure they are, yeah. No,
good.
It was brilliant, yeah. I'm glad I made the journey. Now, I wasn't about an hour ago, but that's football, isn't it?
That is football.
Yeah. And onwards and upwards to the next one. Now, two more home games. get the 40 points. That'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks, okay. Callum, buddy. Good
cheers,
to see
Tiggs.
You. Cheers, Tiggs. Nice. Take Dreddy back.
Hey, Dan, you all right?
Well, just about. Yeah, just about.
Oh, mate. That was bizarre, wasn't it?
That's what you call a Premier League classic and a game of two halves.
Yeah.
I thought first half, everyone's saying, oh, we're awful. I don't think we were awful. I thought Luton set up very well. Everything come through Dango, which I don't think he should start at left back, only if we're in an urgent crisis. They set up well. They let us have the ball. They counter-attacked. All of a sudden, you're 3-0 down. I said to little one here, I said, we get one back within the first 15, we'll be in it. And what happens? We're in it.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Did you expect when that you know, your dad said one would go in, one went in. Did you think we'd get three more after that to make four-three?
When it went 1-0, I thought we'd get back in it, and it went 2-3, and I thought, I want to go. But I listened to Dad and got 4-3.
Football genius, maybe. Football genius.
So I tell her, when you cut, because she plays a similar position to Semenyo for Ringwood.
Yeah.
And I say to her, she quite often goes down the side to stop and look to go back. So no, you've got to go in and cut across.
Cut in.
Shoot
or
anything.
Yeah.
Prime example tonight. But what a result. Massive. But fair play to Luton. I hope they do stay up. Great club. And just great. So anyway, I've got to go because it's school night.
Yeah, take all care. The best. Cheers, boys. See you, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Hey, JJ, man, how you doing?
What do you think of that? Flying, absolutely buzzing after that. It was probably one of the best games I've ever experienced personally.
Yeah, a few people have said that now.
As people have said, complete game of two halves, weren't it? But I mean, you've got to give Antoine Semenyo just absolutely unreal.
He's everything,
absolutely.
Isn't he?
Right foot, left foot, I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely gorgeous. Like, he was unreal. And I mean, it's just, I'm so relieved. I think on Saturday was a bit of a bit of a sticky one, like 3-0 down at half time. Went in for a beer at half time, and I was thinking, you know what?
Shall I go home?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, I had a feeling, as long as we got a goal in the second half within the first 10 minutes, I had a feeling things would go our way, even if we got a point. Do you know what I mean? And then they got a goal chalked offside, and I think that was the real turning point in the second half for me. Like, once that goal got ruled offside, like, the fans just completely. It just went to a whole nother level, didn't it?
Yeah,
so it
did.
Was just unreal. Solanke's goal was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, what did he say? You got a good view of that, didn't you?
So I had a beautiful three ticks. I always do.
You
but
do,
I mean,
man.
It's just excellent. We just truly deserved that. I mean, first half was, we didn't know what to do, did we? But
no.
I mean, it's all about the second half. Everyone's got to talk about the second half, but yeah, it's always beautiful.
Funny though, like, at half time, I'm thinking, I got to stand out here, I got to do this.
Of course.
And everyone's going to be telling me how rubbish it was, and I'm going to be agreeing with them. And we were flat footed, and we were terrible, like, wing backs were terrible,
of course.
And then, and now it's completely different.
I mean,
no one wants to talk about that.
Everybody's going to talk about the second half, literally. Yeah. But I mean, we've got a. It's a difficult one. We can't paper over the cracks too much, because first half we were dreadful, just like against Sheffield United. So we've really got to change the way we come out in the first
absolutely.
Half. I mean, second half, I mean, we were just unreal. We took the game to them, and we truly deserved that. I mean, we're AFC Bournemouth. So. But yeah, absolutely unreal. We deserve that, Tiggs, and I can't be any more excited than what I am. Genuinely,
that's fantastic, man.
Genuinely.
Great. Good to see you, buddy. See you again soon.
What a night at Dean Court. Tom, you must be fairly ecstatic. You weren't after 45 minutes, I've got to say.
No, definitely not. Wasn't happy. It's a weird one. We'll dive into it a bit more, of course, on this show. But I think reflecting, I think we both said it, I almost think it wasn't as bad as we probably thought in the first half. They just took their chances. And it probably wasn't as brilliant in the second half, but we took our chances. I think that's all it was, really. I think, looked at some stats, and I think possession and shots-wise, I think we actually had a slightly more possession in the first half, weirdly, and slightly more shots in the second. But they had four shots in the first half, scored three. You know, they deserve the credit.
It's weird because your emotions tend to override the things you've seen in the half. And I felt frustrated. I felt angry. And then the club put out the extended highlights. And I thought, oh, yeah, we had a shot. Actually, we had another shot. Actually, we played all right. But it was clearly a tactic that Rob Edwards deployed.
We struggled defensively.
Yeah, of counter-attacking. Mm. And he certainly found out our weaknesses, and they exploited them really well. But obviously, there was a bigger story and a bigger context to the whole of the evening.
Yeah.
And it was great to see the return of Tom Lockyer, wasn't it? Superb.
Yeah, great to see him there. Obviously, there was talk about, because he has just become a dad as well, which is great news. So whether he'd come down, but he obviously wanted to, and thank all the people that, you know, quite literally saved his life. But yeah, amazing, and seeing him in the crowd and stuff. He was happy in the first half, probably not so much in the second, but yeah, just great to see him there. And I didn't even think that. I saw it back, and he sat next to Brooksy, because they're both Welsh teammates,
yeah,
aren't they?
So, and, they've obviously overcome
For sure. So yeah, definitely from that perspective, a real kind of emotional evening. But yeah, they probably felt like, oh, we're doing, you know what I mean? This is going exactly, that I do feel for them, I've got to be honest, reflecting on it, the Luton fans, because we have got that bond between the two clubs. It was kind of there before this situation, and this has obviously just brought us closer together. But yeah, I did feel, after the game, I thought, oh, there has to be a loser. And three, I mean, we've had similar ones, the Arsenal one, I remember last season, I won three, which makes it worse, but there's no worse feeling, is there, than that, when that ball went in and they thought we were 3-0 up here.
Yeah.
And I just hope psychologically that done. I did message Dave, Forest fan.
Yeah.
And he was very out. He said, thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I got a text off him as well. Yeah. Because obviously he was distraught at seeing the way the game was unfolding in the first half. But all was good in the end, Dave. Is it too soon to say it?
Mm.
I mean, he's alive and everything, but that's a game that probably doesn't do your heart any good.
I know what you mean.
Ironically.
I know what you mean. I think now we can kind of say them comments. Obviously, Tom's doing really well. He's recovered. But yeah, it probably wasn't the right game for someone with a dicky heart to be at. But crazy football match. Just ridiculous, really. The way that game changed. And I think a lot of people kind of neutrally are going, God, this Bournemouth side. I mean, I saw a few things online of kind of neutral fans going, that's why you put Bournemouth on the telly.
Yeah, because
I know that to a lesser degree, but against Sheffield United, we turned it around. I feel like they're always, you obviously seen the one at Old Trafford. Like, when we're on it, we can literally just overpower teams. But you always know that we can leave the door open as we do in the first half. So yeah, exciting stuff. But I think in a game that I kind of went to it feeling like it was a friendly. Do you know what I mean?
It didn't really matter what happened.
So to still make it as one of the best games of the season and really enjoyable and one to get really excited by is massive credit to the players and Andoni and the way he plays the game and the way he makes us play football, because that's what we all said, wasn't it? I mean, I know a lot of people kind of half jokingly going, that's why, you know, Gary Neil wouldn't have come back. Gary Neil wouldn't have been 3-0 down.
No, we deserve to.
You've got to look at the other side of it. But personal preference, that's why I'm enjoying the season more.
No matter how you're consuming this, whether it's via the audio podcast or on YouTube, we'd truly appreciate it if you can do a few things on the audio pod. Leaving a review massively helps. If it's 5-star, that would be even better. But also on YouTube, Tom, a couple of things they can press. What is it?
There's a big fat like button, looks like a little funny. Do that, that's good. Click the bell and then you see when all the videos come out, and then click the subscribe button, that's really important. And we can keep pushing on with the old subscribers, mate, because we've had a good one this season, so we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we have. I'll let you into a secret, I won't tell you the time, but I was up editing the vlog late into the early hours. I could hear birdsong at one point, that's how late it was. But the immediacy of getting it out truly helps the channel, and there have been some new subscribers. So thank you if you are one of them, whether you are Luton or a maybe new Bournemouth fan or just a fan that appreciated our vlogs and just loves football. And also, if you're a supporter of this channel, we do have some channel supporters that really do help us tick financially.
Yeah.
You can go to afcbpodcast.com/coffee to lend your support if you want to find out more about where the money goes. We are not for profit. It's afcbpodcast.com/support. You can find out all about us and how we spend it. But what we're doing is broadcasting these shows when every so often live when we record them. So we're actually on YouTube right now. We've posted the link in the Telegram group, and it's amazing to see that there have been a few people already posting comments, including Filippo's here, Rich Neil, Heather's here as well, Steve Connor, Morgan Scott, Neil Whedon. And we're also going to be talking about some breaking news right now, because Dom Solanke has not been selected for the England squad. And it's Ivan Toney. You could probably bet your bottom dollar that he was going to get the normal jokes.
I kind of thought, I didn't expect him to, which is weird because his form, he should be.
But would he have if he scored in the last game and scored that penalty against Sheffield United? Did that not make a difference?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think he was ever going to get in.
But that goal yesterday.
I know. I think if Solanke hadn't been in and Toney wasn't, and say he went for another midfielder, I'd have gone, okay, I get that, because you have to pick Kane, obviously. Ollie Watkins deserves to be in.
Yeah.
And he might have gone, you know what, I think two's enough because Rashford can play up there, Bowen can play up there, Anthony Gordon, who's in this squad, can play up there. Mm. So if he had done that and put another midfielder in, I'd have gone, okay, he's not picking three centre-forwards, natural centre-forwards, because he knows others can play in that role. But he has picked another one, and it's Ivan Toney. And Ivan Toney scored about four goals since he's come back. Yeah. Ivan Toney's a good player, and I do think that is kind of the way he is and his arrogance, that could be quite good for England in a tournament, coming off the bench. He feels like the type of person that would just come on and score. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He is that type of player. And maybe there's a case to say, because Kane's going to play, Dom, you know, would Toney be a better option off the bench? Maybe. But I don't understand how the amount of goals Dom Solanke's done, he hasn't been, you know, taken away from football for off-the-field matters. He scored a ton loads more than Ivan Toney.
A beautiful goal last night.
I don't really understand how you can pick Toney over him if you look at all them things considered. But I feel for Dom personally, but it is what it is. I think even if he had got in this squad, I don't think he was ever going to go to the tournament, to be honest with you. I think he's just that little bit behind. But you can make cases. I mean, there'll be loads of people making cases for their own players in terms of teams they support. You've only got to look at kind of Henderson's in midfield. Well, Lewis Cook's better than Jordan Henderson. So you make cases all over the place, mate. I think we're going to have enough internationals. I saw a bit of a shout-out. We'll mention him later, but I've just seen that Tyler Adams has got in the America squad.
Fair play to him.
And he looked classy in that little cameo he come on. I think, obviously, Semenya will go. You've got Zabadi. So we'll have a lot of players that will still travel and do bits. So, shame for Dom, but he'll keep knocking on that door, mate, no doubt about that.
We'll get stuck into the football very, very shortly, but just wanted to also do a quick shout out to Cherries Trust and also Talking Cherries, who came together to do some really good things around the ground. There are three locations where they could chat to fans that were maybe a little bit anxious about going to the game, understandably so. Cherries Trust also arranged a fundraiser whereby they put on 3/4 Bobbers coaches for Luton Town. Obviously, they would have had the expense of having to come to Bournemouth yet again. And nearly four coaches were paid for it at half-time. There was a presentation on the pitch and really, really good, lovely touch that. Really lovely touch, and congratulations to all involved. So Morgan is on the chat as we speak, talking about the fact that Bournemouth are only the fifth team in Premier League history to come back from a 3-0 deficit to win. First since Wolves beat Leicester in 2003, first time since then. And also, Tom, I said on the vlog at half-time to you, some of which we cut, understandably so, but I said, oh, mate, against the bottom sides, we are atrocious. Well, with one game to go against the bottom three, we've taken 13 points from 15 so far, which is so weird, isn't it? Because when you look at those performances, the last three, we had 20th, we had 19th, we had 18th. At Burnley, we were pretty awful, quite passive, but we had a game plan. Sheffield United at home didn't think we were great. And Luton Town, for half the game, I thought we were pretty abject.
Yeah, I think the only one that we're actually really like good in was Sheffield United away, which was a while ago, wasn't it? Where we battered them, should have scored more. But yeah, to be fair, if you're a Luton fan and think, oh, don't beat Bournemouth, are we Burnley or Sheffield United? We normally lose to someone that goes down. So if you haven't beat us, you might stay up. Because what was it, last season we lost to, was it? Oh, Southampton, wasn't it? And Leeds. Mm. We lost to both of them. So that's a good little sign, actually. We do normally lose to one of the teams that we should beat.
Yeah.
I always remember, I think it was our first ever Premier League season, actually. Aston Villa, we lost on the opening day. Tim Sherwood's Aston Villa. Do you remember?
I do.
I think that was their only away win of the season.
That Rudy Gusted header. Yeah.
I think they won one away game all season. It was obviously us. So, yeah, no, I think we lost the whole away as well after we beat them like 6 at home. So we're used to doing that. So it's good that we're getting over the line and we're showing a bit of quality. I understood why you said that. We struggled a little bit. I think it was the surprise of it in the last couple has been, I kind of get if we struggle to break teams down, you know what they're like, and they make it really nasty for you. It's the fact we conceded stupid goals against teams that don't score goals. A little bit of disrespect to Luton, maybe, because Luton have had games where we spoke about in the preview how they looked like they'd pulled it back to get a point against Villa by scoring two. I mean, scoring two against Villa is not, but then they lost it. I mean, they've had so many games this season. Was it 4-3 against Arsenal as well?
Yeah.
And that was the same scoreline. There's a lot in there there's a lot in there that Luton will start thinking, oh, God, this could cost us.
But they're always in games, though. Give them some hope, whereas other teams in that position have just been bored by some...
Definitely. I think I said in the preview that I fancy Luton to stay up, but see what happens after we play them, because I might think they're rubbish.
Well, this Saturday's crucial for them.
It is. And I think watching the game, exactly what we're going to say at first half, I thought there's no way these lot are going down. They've got some really quality players. They worked their socks off. At the end of the game, I don't think they've done enough to make me think they're going to go down, but I thought it's how they react now, because psychologically, that's going to hurt them. You're 3-0 up. That is really going to hurt them. But it's good to see their supporters at the end. They're just clapping the players off the pitch.
Yeah,
a bit like us when we lost like 9-0. You've seen they're all still together, which is nice.
And Rob Edwards, as beautiful as he is when he's happy, also when he's feeling frustrated and abject, he's still a gorgeous man.
Just got that, yeah.
Love that from you, Rob.
What a guy.
Now, as always, this episode of the Back of the Net podcast is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game.
It is indeed, and the league season is entering the business end, so Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Bournemouth fixture over the season, and with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action.
Yeah, football is best enjoyed with your mates, so if you're not at the ground this month, get a text in the group chat and head to your local Greene King Sports venue to catch the game. I think we've got one, Man United's going to be on TV,
but we don't
quite know the day.
You are right.
So confusing.
It might be Sunday at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, but it might get moved. But either way, your Greene King Sports pub will be showing it.
It will. And don't forget to download the Greene King Sports app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. I didn't quite do it, mate, this week. Because you get a free pint if you get it bang on.
I've not done it yet.
Oh, you'll be all right. You've only missed a couple of games.
Which were?
Arsenal. It was 1-0, wasn't it? And I went 2-1. But what's weird is if you'd done 5-2, you would have got it as well because of the penalty shootout.
Oh, you're
which
joking.
Is quite funny. So you've got Wolves Coventry on there in the cup. Yeah. So I've gone for a little Gary O'Neill 1-0. City Newcastle, I've gone 2-0 City.
Right, yeah, but no Kevin De Bruyne.
Very true. Who hasn't got in the Belgium squad either, which is surprising, but maybe that's because of a knock. And then I've gone 2-1 Tottenham away at Fulham. So, yeah, if you're getting bang on, mate, you get a free... I've got a few little banked in there as well, a few little free drinks banked in. I've got... Arsenal Brentford the other week. So, it's worth doing, mate.
Download the app now.
Do it.
Right, let's check out the league table then after the game. Bournemouth have... Well, we're in 13th. Mm. We've closed the gap on Fulham. It's only goal difference that's keeping us apart at the moment. But we've got a veritable feast of DLWDW.
Keep it exciting, love it.
We are excited. But the main thing I can take from it, 14 points off the bottom three. The only way's up for Cherries, isn't it?
14? If I say that, 14 points clear of safety. If, see what happens with Europe and what it is this season, depends how the English teams do.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal getting through against Porto was big, by the way.
Yeah.
So 8th could possibly be Conference League. How many points are we?
35.
7.
7 off.
So we're 7 points off Europe.
Stop
and
it.
14 off relegation.
Yeah. Pretty decent.
Could we?
Could we?
You know what I mean? No, we can't.
Could we? Right, form table as a result. Bournemouth have...
Imagine going to Europe. Oh, what's happening? Imagine what I said at half time.
Form table.
Oh, love
it. If you're listening on the audio pod, don't worry. We'll fill you in. We're in 11th spot, just above Chelsea, just below Newcastle.
We are kind of, with everything, so like you say, form table, like we said then, the actual league table, and the kind of feel of it at the moment, it just slaps them into, it feels like if we're being honest about it, we're not going to get Europe. Mm. We're not going to go down. And we are literally, we are the mid-table side. I think you could probably say, obviously, with the points, that Fulham feel similar.
Yeah.
But we feel very, we just feel like if any team is kind of done for the season, it's kind of us and Fulham, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But what a place to be, mate. I mean, last season, we'd have ripped your hand off of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're still performing, and having games like that to enjoy, mate. So, yeah, long mate.
And that was enjoyable. 4-3. Areola's just been there, done that, bought the T-shirt as a player.
That's what we said, that, yeah.
He's been 3-0 down. That was against Osasuna with Athletic Club. Ended up winning 4-3. He said, as a player, you don't forget these kind of things.
Well, he was probably playing at the back as well, so that's not great for him.
No, exactly. Probably isn't. Right, team lineups then at 6:30. I said on the vlog I hadn't seen the teams yet. I wasn't blagging it.
No, you hadn't. Had you?
Usually when I record the vlog, I blag it somewhat. Tom, what are the teams? Fully knowing what they are. This time I did not know. So what you said was quite a surprise. Oh yeah, there was a comment on YouTube. You might not have seen it.
Oh.
Apparently you said that obviously Neto starts. And he picked... That was the most vanilla of sarcastic remarks that Tom could have ever made. And out of a 4-3 vlog that had goals, excitement, everything, that's the one thing you take away from it.
What did they say? That was Negan Adair.
You know, that was unnecessary. To say, obviously Neto is in goal.
Well, that's because, like we said, well, maybe they didn't watch the preview. But on the preview, I said to you, oh, there's a lot of conversation, isn't there, about is he going to get dropped?
So weird.
And I was like, he's not going to get dropped.
People are odd.
So that's what I meant. But so, to be fair, with Neto, like I say, we'll obviously get into the game later. But he didn't do anything wrong, by the way. He let in three goals, which is never great. And what annoys me, you know, like we always say this, which is stupid, we have to do this. Obviously, I want every player to prove me wrong if I think they're not doing well. With Neto, it's even more so because I just want him to be great. Because after the game, he's so passionate.
Yeah, I love him.
He's
for that.
Yeah, and he's just he clearly is someone that really gives a. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, please be really good because yeah. And I think there's been a bit of that with, like, say, Arsenal. They want Ramsdale to be number one because they love him, yeah. But they kind of know that Reyes may be doing better or is doing better. I feel like that at the moment. I want Neto to be brilliant because I love his passion, but. Fortunately, there wasn't any glaring errors from him. But yeah, apart from that, kind of as we expected with them changes down the left.
Apart, yeah.
But I didn't think... I thought, well, I went Unal. If it wasn't Unal, I thought, well, he'll play Clivert. But he went with Alex Scott.
Yeah.
He's not 10.
No.
I don't think he's a number 10.
It's not really working, is it?
It feels like he's a player that we feel is too good not to play because he's clearly class.
Yeah.
So we're putting him into a position that unsuits him because he can't drop Cook or Christie.
Do you sometimes find that when we make too many changes, it just doesn't work? We did that in the cup and it didn't work then. It's probably a big...
Maybe, point, but right? Having said that, I think with form and with inconsistencies, and as we've alluded to, with the where we are on the league table, this way you use your squad a bit, this way you see who's about. It wouldn't shock me if you start seeing some more minutes for, obviously, you know, but Fevre and Adams coming in now, because we're in a nice position where he can test a few bits out. So why not see if Dango can do a full game at left back, for example?
One of the things that I think now, obviously a lot of our attention as Bournemouth fans, we're looking at the inadequacies on our own left side of the pitch after that first half. Goals from Chong, obviously Ogbeni as well, Ross Barkley, really good goal from him.
How you doing, Ross? You all right?
Yeah, I'm sure he is doing okay.
The last time I remember, like, kind of a feeling of a comeback like that, we drew against Everton 3-3.
Yeah.
He got the goal that he thought was a winner in that didn't he?
He did, yeah, I forgot about that.
It's because he gave it a bit to the North, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which I didn't realise because I went down on 38.
Did you?
Yeah, so I missed the Barkley one. But he gave it to us a bit, so that was a good laugh. But I said to you before the show, by the way, I do get why Luton fans are really loving him, because I just think
he's quality on the ball. He really is.
Yeah, like, it
creative
should be,
as well.
It shouldn't be a surprise, because at Everton, where he felt like, obviously he came through Scouser, blah blah, he was like one of the main men. He was brilliant. Then he went to Chelsea, and it was like he was like all the other players were bigger than him, and it didn't work. And now I feel like he might be that type of player that likes the responsibility of being like on the main man.
Sort of like Jack Wilshere was for us for a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, he just kind of gets in them pockets really well, and his just little movements with his feet, really clever. And I said to you, didn't I, that it reminded me a little bit, right early in the season when we played Tottenham at home, of James Maddison.
Yeah.
Just the way he kind of... Yeah, so I think if they can keep him fit, that's going to be big for him.
So, with the absence of Justin Clivert, my worry was that the gap between the number 10 and Dom Solanke would be too vast, because we know that Clivert and Solanke combine really well, and he gets up there. And Alex Scott, I don't think, did that. Now, this is my opinion. I think that because he doesn't go forward as much, I think the fullbacks almost feel an increased responsibility to get forward.
Yeah.
And there were times that Ouattara and also Smith got totally found out. I mean, there's one still of one of the goals, I think it might be Ross Barkley's, where Ouattara's basically on the halfway line, just running back. And it's like he was properly exposed then. Yeah. And I just wonder whether that was in his game plan. Like, you're not going to be up there like Clivert is, because we know you like to have a lot of the ball in the middle of the park. The fullbacks, the onus is on you to get forward. Sometimes it did feel like we were playing with a back two.
Yeah, Meps and Zabani getting pulled out of fullback positions a lot.
They were. Zabani, I remember him making a sliding tackle at one stage just in front of the north stand and east stand. And I thought, why is he even there? But Ouattara was, you know, up the pitch somewhere. But we were getting found out, and Luton, to their credit, they did exactly the same as they did in the match that was suspended. An early goal, 9 minutes.
It was pretty similar time, wasn't it?
I think so. I think goal that was scored the first Adebayo. Time from... It was Adebayo, wasn't it?
Might have been earlier, actually.
I think it was. Yeah. But lovely little dink at the at the far post, and Chong was in the right place, right time. I don't quite know where the responsibility is with it. Is it the cross should have been closed down? I think that Lewis Cook at one stage takes his eye off the ball a little bit and he thinks that Meps is going to go with Chong. He doesn't. And then he starts to make the run and thinks that Chris Maffin's going to go there. He doesn't. And Chong, easiest header in the world.
Yeah, I was trying to work out. Obviously, you can talk about stopping the cross, which is always important when a ball comes in the header. You think, could we have stopped it at source? But once it comes in, I was going to kind of say virtually what you said there, mate. I remember watching it back kind of going, who has lost their man there? Because like you say, on one hand, you think, oh, has Lewis lost him? Mm. And the other thing, oh, has Meppen been drawn to the ball and left his man? Should Smith tuck over? It's a culmination of things, really. But I think it's a good point you make. I think it's easy for everyone to say, Dango's not, he showed that he's not a natural left back. He's getting caught a lot. He's too high up the pitch. But equally, actually, a really experienced right back who's been brilliant for us, Adam Smith. There was a lot of similarity. They just tended to go down that side more. Mm. But Smithy, for the second goal as well, as much as Dango leaves his man at the back post, Smithy's lost his down the other side. Yes, yeah. So like you say, I do wonder if it's a little bit more that they were trying too hard to help there. Which I don't think Sinny, as much as I actually felt a little bit sorry for him being the one that was brought off, because I thought Sinny was trying to make stuff happen. But he doesn't help his fullback.
Well, no, exactly. But Tavernier does.
And Tavernier does. So maybe he saw how much they would cause us problems down that side. But
we had chances, by the way.
And most of them come through Sinny. That's what I'm saying.
Because we're just watching the extended highlights reel on YouTube whilst we're recording this. And, you know, like Sinny had a shot. I think Christy blazed one wide at one stage, which, you know, maybe is expected as well. Yeah. But it seemed to be whenever they got forward. Because I don't think Neto was, weirdly, he wasn't overly tested. But it felt like three shots, three goals. I'm sure they had more.
I think it was four.
Was it?
It was four shots, three goals in the first half, I believe. But yeah, as you say, mate, and what's weird is I felt the changes kind of made sense half time, didn't surprise me or anything. But just watch there, one of our big, it's probably a really big chance, but Sinisterra, unfortunately, just hits it straight at the keeper. Mm. It was great work from Alex Scott, and then great work from Sinisterra, and they were the two. So they did have their moments.
That reminded me of when Cliver scored that goal, where Alex Scott drifted from right to left and just laid it off.
Was it Leno?
Sinisterra, I think he
bit tame,
to take it first time, he cut in on his right foot and he did, you know.
But what I'm saying is, we're all going to, obviously, we're 3-0 down 1-4-3. We're all going to talk about how, you know, the half-time changes and how much better we're in the second half. But actually, it wasn't like Scott and Sinny weren't horrendous. If you look at some of our moments, they were both involved.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, it wasn't working down the left, which is ironic because that was literally what changed the game against Sheffield. And I just don't think Scott likes being there. I think he can develop into that play. Forget how young he is. He wants to be deep, picking up the ball. And I just don't think that worked. But yeah, we had a few little half chances, didn't we? Little snapshots and stuff. But they were just, yeah, breaking on us every time. And
what about their third goal? I mean,
look at Meppen. He's virtually has to be at left back.
Yeah.
Because there's Dango.
And then Ross Barkley fires it into the roof of the net. Right. At this stage, you were probably down in the concourse or outside having a beer. In fact, it was a non-alcoholic beer for you, wasn't it?
Was it Heineken? Yeah, little, they do the non-alcoholic. I didn't realise they did them all the time, but yeah, nice little non-alcoholic one, mate.
But mate, 3-0. I mean, that's, you know, for a Luton fan, I think I said it on the vlog, that's the like most romantic 45 minutes you can have if everything that's happened that night, and then it culminates in a performance like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely superb. So we can't say we didn't give him a head start. We definitely did.
We done all we could.
Yeah.
No, it was, and I think from a Luton perspective, they were playing all right. They had the one goal lead. The professors, they'd taken that. Then they get two, and then you're always like, that's brilliant. But you know what everyone says about 2-0? You think, oh, Bournemouth got an early goal, though. That's still nervy. Mm. But once you get three, you go,
yeah,
job done. But we've actually lost a free goal lead. Do you remember Arsenal at home?
Yeah, Olivier Giroud.
Probably. Yeah, I think it was a draw, wasn't it? So it can happen. But yeah, you just really didn't see it coming because...
Who scored our third in that game?
Who did get our third in that game? Hang on.
Well,
don't say his name then.
You were like, Sermon?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. Why'd you just ruin my day?
Because I like to ruin your day, mate.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, I will unruin your day by showing you the match timeline again and some changes that we made.
Mm.
They were effective. And I think, you know what? I was watching fan cams again.
Yeah.
Kirk makes a good point, actually, because I think a lot of praise is rightly heaped onto Antoine Semenier for his brace. But Ünal, I thought, was really good. And he was almost the key to unlocking that Luton Town defence.
He got two assists, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. What an inspired substitution that was.
It was, and I do think now, obviously, we've got a bit of a break now, but I think there will be games where we see the pair of them because they've they've been really, really good every time they've played together. And Unal, yeah, he's got, I think you know the size of him, and he's going to, you know, be a threat from, we're going to be better from set pieces because they're worried about him. But his first touch is good. The weight of his pass is always quite good. There's a few really nice touches in there. I really felt for him because he had a few, I think he hit one that went straight at the keeper, which wasn't a very good strike. And then there was one that how the keeper saved it. I think we were already ahead at that point, at the end.
Yeah, Kaminski was basically down on the ground because he expected the shot. So, well, it took a touch. So he expected the initial shot and then it deflected. And he just stuck his foot in the air and saved it.
But I think I think we've got a good player there. I really like him. And he looks like a player that's coming in going, I really need to show these fans that I can make an impact. And really, every time he's come on the pitch, he's made an impact. And you can even argue in that cup game where he got his first start against Leicester, we were a lot worse when he got injured.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really pleased. And I think that's a good point. I think everyone's going to talk about Semenya, and rightly so. But Unai deserves a lot of credit. I also think Tavernier deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Rightly being criticised because he's dipped so much. It's unbelievable. But it didn't. But the thing with Tavernier is, it didn't shock me that he changed the game.
No,
because we know he's got that in him.
He's just got the technical quality.
Of course he has. And what I would say is, maybe it was. He needed a bit of a kick. I know it sounds stupid.
Yeah,
it sounds
exactly
obvious.
No, I completely agree.
And go, right, you've been dropped. Now show, like, do what the reason Sinny's playing over you is because he just changed the game. Go and do the same.
So you stayed to watch the second half. Some people didn't. Some people went home.
I don't blame them that much. We're 3-0 down and hopeless, and it was night game. I wouldn't leave just because I've got nothing else to do.
Well, they'd been walking away from Dean Court with the bright lights in the distance behind them, and they would have heard a distant cheer as Dom Solanke single-handedly got us back into it. His shirt was being tugged. You know what? It looks better the more I watch it. At the time, I thought it squirmed through and he's turned and it's just fell through. Everything was so good. He was strong. He was getting tugged.
That little touch.
Yeah, that little... Yeah, just back with it. I don't know how he did it, but he put through his
Davis
legs...
on a Sunday night.
And then the composure...
What a dink.
As the keeper was bearing down on him, just to dink it over him. And that was such a good goal. By the way, VAR check. On the screen, it said, like, Chris Meppham offside interference.
Yeah.
What bit was that?
Just before Meppham played the ball back across. You know when it comes to Dom and he's getting pulled?
Right.
It's from a header from Meppham.
Oh, okay.
And
right.
Meppham, it was close.
Yeah.
It was close. I've seen it on another highlights thing and it was quite close. So, it's kind of all, kind of squirming around. And eventually it falls. I think Tav's the one that gets in the middle of the pitch and just putting it on now. And he kind of drives in. I think he kind of falls over. But
he has
here,
a shot.
Meps flicks it on, but Meps comes back, and he is quite close. But yeah, Dom, the skill there, and the reason I said that's like watching Sam Davis on a Sunday was because I hope you were going to go, oh, and the finish was like your dink because I'd done that dink.
Yeah, the finish was just like your dink, mate.
Thank you. See, that is close. Did you see that?
Yeah, you know what?
Very, very close. But what I want to say is it won't get looked at a lot. Sheffield United game. I think it was Unal's goal. Yeah, it was. Meppham flicks the ball back into the box. Do you remember?
So is that two assists?
No, he didn't get that second because then Dango flicks it.
Oh, right, of course.
But what I'm saying is from effective two corners, Meppham keeps it alive. And I think sometimes that goes unnoticed because I think the difference is Senesi is so good from set pieces in terms of attacking it.
Yeah.
Meps ain't that, but he keeps it alive. He gets in that position, which is really good. But yeah, I didn't realise how good that goal was. Mm. It was unbelievable from Dom. Absolutely beautiful goal. And then... I mean, I kind of half jokingly turned to my mate Jake and went,
we're going to win 4-3.
Could we? And I thought, well, we ain't getting it. And then when Semenya had that charge, we smashed it over the bar straight after.
And he seemed to make the same runs time and time again on the right, cutting in on his left. And his shot, by the way, he's got to have the most powerful shot in the side.
Very powerful. And I tell you what, you would hate to be a fullback. You don't know which way he's going to go.
No, you don't.
I've never seen a player so good on both feet.
He can hit it with his right.
I want to look, actually. Someone will do a bit of research for us, I'm sure, before I look at it. He scored, I think it's 7 Premier League goals.
Yeah.
How many with his left and how many with his right?
It's probably fairly even.
It's pretty even, which is incredible. And then finally, Zabs gets his first goal.
Lewis Cook takes a corner and then I think Unal flicked it on. And then it bubbles up for Zabani to head towards goal. And I think Watara was trying to force it in with an acrobatic overhead kick, but didn't quite connect. And we were all looking at the ref. We were all looking at the ref and we were waiting. And then the watch went off. It was clearly over the line.
There's only one angle, this one, that shows that it's over the line. Yeah. Every time I watch it, every other angle, I don't think it's anywhere near it.
No.
It's weird. I'm beyond the goal. I went, that ain't him.
I did think that it was close. Did you? Yeah, I really did think it was close. Whether it was over, wasn't quite sure because it seemed like too much of a delay. But then there is a delay, like 2 or 3 seconds, and then the referee.
We talk about how much we hate VAR and hate all them things. That's the best thing ever in it, goal line technology, because there's no ref or linesman that's seeing that without.
No.
So thankfully, they turned it on.
Yeah.
Because there's been times in the past where they've decided not to. And the counter, and I didn't realise that. I don't know if you saw Zabani's family, parents, come to watch him this week for the first time for Bournemouth.
You're joking.
I mean, it's so weird that he's never even been close to scoring.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it might have been Chris Temple that said it, but yeah, first time they watched him and he scored. And also, he is now the youngest Ukrainian to ever score in the Premier League.
Wow.
By the way, we're not going to talk about it because we conceded 2 against Sheffield, 3 against Luton. He is mustard, that guy.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's super, wow. And I also want to say, because if after the international break, it wouldn't shock me if Senesi's back, comes back in, we forget about Metham again, he's been brilliant again.
Yeah.
And whatever you want to say, he kind of basically played the full game against Burnley as well. He's come in, we haven't lost a football match. Yeah. Metham's been brilliant.
There you go. We were just talking about the watch on the ref that went off. Let's have a quick word on the ref, because I thought, because in our preview, we were okay, obviously only refereed one Premier League match before. He was the best this season.
Well, I always do, you know, obviously jokingly, but I always say to you, when you say, do you want to know who the ref is? And I was going, no, I couldn't care less. They're all rubbish. Yeah. He was superb. And I thought, and this is no disrespect to Luton, because we would do the same. When they were trying to do little bits, there was one moment, I can't remember what it was, kind of went down for him. And you could see they were just trying to maybe delay it. And he just went, up you get. Come on, let's get on with it. Everything was brilliant. And I didn't realise.
Luton
fans are going to hate this, by the way.
You're going to say what I think. Just whisper it. Just whisper it. So, go on.
He used to play for Bournemouth. How the?
What?
Only.
What?
Only like a kid. I think he's.
I mean, it didn't. Like, Luton fans will not be having any recriminations towards
him. He didn't do anything.
Because he didn't do anything. But really?
Yeah, mad that. But I think he. I don't think he ever made it as a. It might be because they're a professional. I'm not sure if it was semi. I think he played like kind of Truro, Chippenham, like them sort of that level down south. I think he was born in like Chippenham or something. But yeah, he did. If you actually go onto his Wikipedia, he was at Bournemouth, which is mad.
So mad.
But and no one, it's weird how that come out after, but no one said it before. I didn't see any reports about it. But he was honestly outstanding.
Yeah, I thought he was great. He's the best one I've seen in years. He sort of let contact happen instead of looking for excuses to give fouls. And the only decision I think he got wrong was that he didn't give Tav a yellow at the end for clattering into one of their players. But, you know, that favoured us. But
yeah.
I thought he was really, really good. So, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, and I think when you said to me his name, because I didn't, obviously, like I say, he's kind of just come onto the scene at this level as a ref. So when you said his name in the preview, I went, oh, whatever. And then when I realised who it was, I thought, oh, no, he's getting quite a lot of credit lately. Yeah, yeah. So I'm interested now. And he was brilliant, honestly. Really, really good performance from him.
So that was on 62 minutes when Zabs hit the back of the net. And it wasn't long before Semenyo hit the back of the net. The first of his two. And wow, can we talk about Ryan Christie's ball over, by the way? This ball from left to right, we're going to show a freeze frame that finds Semenyo's feet. Absolutely superb. And now I also want to freeze frame it again. I want to also pay credit to Adam Smith here, who makes a run that takes out basically two of their defenders, that frees up the room.
Yep.
For Semenyo to cut in on his left and fire that shot towards goal. I mean, look at the energy that Smith is showing here. Just keeps on going. Two people have to go with him. Space opens up. Goal.
I'm also a bit annoyed because when you stopped that, I thought, oh, I'm going to make a point about Smith that no one talks about here, and then you've done it.
Oh, sorry.
No, but that's one of them things that no one normally looks at. That's such a key run, and Semenyo would have been.
Run.
But that ball, mate. Honestly, if Ryan Christie could shoot, I think Scotland will win the World Cup.
We wouldn't have him as a player.
No, he'd be 100. He's the best player I've ever seen. Yeah. Until, and then the ball comes into the box and you think, do not shoot. Can we just tell him that the goal is one of his teammates?
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I think this was before that. Before we forget.
Yeah.
I can't remember who played the ball, but there was a similar crossfield pass. And Semenyo done one of the best first touches.
That was at three all.
Oh, was it?
It was Neto. It was a goalkeeper from Neto.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Stu Bramley on Twitter, I saw him retweet it, but be careful, Stu, because the Premier League will probably take down your account in a heartbeat after posting that 1 minute clip. That first touch was superb. He did have another about 5 minutes later that rolled off his shin and out of play, but that touch alone was absolutely brilliant, I've got to say.
I know it's Phil's reactionary or whatever. I think if the season stopped now, you kind of talk about your player of the season and stuff. I think Solanke would probably get it because of the goals. And because, I mean, he has been unbelievable for us. And I think rightly so. And I think people would talk about certain other players that have been consistent. So Ryan Christie, 100% is in the conversation. I think Zabani's in the conversation. Antoine Semenyo's got to be in the conversation, yeah. By the way. I mean, he is...
Even Adam Smith could be up.
Yeah, for consistency. But I think... I remember all the way back at Anfield, where Jane Anthony was playing for us, for example, who feels like he's been gone forever.
Yeah.
So that's a long time. Was that our first away game? I think it was. And Semenyo caused him so many problems that day. Like, he has been consistent. And when he... This goal we're going to get on the winner.
Yeah.
You know what it's like when you're in the stadium and where we're sat in the north? When he bursts through, everyone kind of goes like that. Yeah. So you kind of have to stand up to see it. I stayed seated, knowing he'd score.
Really?
He ran through and I went, he'll smash this in. He's just...
Can I say though, but from where I was sat...
When he took his first touch, I didn't stand up, I didn't see it.
Really?
Okay. I just sat down, knew he'd smash it in.
So when I... Because I was sat in front of you, which was an experience.
What?
Potty mouth section or what, where you are, mate. But you weren't part of it, which was great. But one thing I would say, from the viewpoint that you're at, what are you, like row E somewhere, just behind the sort of left-hand post as you're looking at the pitch?
Yeah, slightly closer to like the east side.
I had no idea that the keeper got a touch, that it came off the keeper.
No, it looked like he just smashed it.
I thought he smashed it into the left-hand corner. It wasn't like high into the net, but it was kind of like mid-height. But you can clearly actually hear it when you watch the replay, can't you?
Yes.
So, and that's the thing with Semenyo. If that was any other player, it probably wouldn't have gone in because it wouldn't have been as powerful.
Yeah,
but the power he generates on his shot meant that Kaminski had absolutely no chance. But yeah, Lewis Cook...
Starts Lewis Cook at right back, by the way.
Yeah, you played in like Antoine Semenyo, who then feeds you now, carrying on his run. And then, wow, what a way to win a football match, mate.
What a strike.
Limbs.
What a strike, yeah. Limbs. I couldn't believe it. It was, couldn't believe it. And then I was thinking, now we've got ages to go now. Like, plus the added time, it was only 20 minutes. I mean, it's crazy how quickly we turned it around. I mean, obviously getting the 3-0, we had like half an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
It was absolutely, but yeah, everything about the goal was brilliant. The weight of pass from Unal, the first touch from Semenyo, as you say, just hammers it so hard. And that's kind of what I anticipated him doing, just smashing it. There was a case to thinking, is he going to try and find Solanke? He's got a little bit of room if he does it early enough, but the right thing. And it was...
You know, sometimes you need to be unselfish and take that chance. He could have tried to find Solanke. And you know what, later on...
Good celebration, by the way.
Great celebration. Later on, I think Billing had a chance to shoot where he was unselfish, and in hindsight, he probably wishes he did. And that led to that Kaminski save with his foot. But
he's a very good goalkeeper, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
I like Kaminski.
And you know what, mate? We actually forgot to mention, I think, that Luton actually did score in front of the Temidu.
Yeah, that was a 3-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 3-1, but it was offside. And I think it was clearly offside as well. So
it didn't take long, did it?
Perhaps not worth the mention that...
They still... That's the thing that, obviously, you're going to look at this and go, you know, Luton just threw it away and Bournemouth obviously took advantage, smelt blood and all that stuff in the second half. Luton still had a chance, obviously had the disallowed goal. They also had one that come across goal and Barkley sliced it at the back post.
Oh, my goodness, right.
Yeah,
so
it's actually an open goal.
I didn't realise how... I was watching Colin Burns' vlog. If you check his YouTube channel out, he does vlogs for a lot of Bournemouth games, loads, nearly all the home ones. Type in on YouTube, give him a subscribe, superb. And... Obviously, he's in the Ted Mac, and I didn't realise how close that was.
I know. He spoons it, really.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to miss that, Ross Barkley had a good game. He's been brilliant for him, so that's one of them. But yeah, they still had little moments, but it felt pretty cut. I mean, 9 minutes added, I thought, Jesus, who would have thought that we would want less time? Like, it was weird. But yeah, 9 minutes added.
So I know there were a couple of injuries. Yeah, and I suppose all the goals.
It felt a little bit over the top. Well, I was thinking, oh God, it's going to be like six. So I couldn't believe it was nine. And what I will say is, because, you know, like we said with the refs, you know, you have things that you feel like anyway, that you're critical of quite a lot. And we have been with Neto. And as much as you didn't have much to do, there was, in stoppage time, I can remember two, balls in the box. I'm thinking, oh no, and he come and caught him.
Yeah, really good. And he punched one as well in the...
It was a decent punch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the first half.
That was the first half. Yeah. Really good punch. So.
But yeah, there was one right at the end where they put a corner in, I think, and that's where I go, that's where I want my goalkeeper and my captain to take responsibility. You've got the hands. And he come out and grabbed one really well. So I wanted to make that point that was... because it might be funny, when he knows that, you know, he's just made some errors in the last game, be easy to stay on your line.
Yeah.
And he come out and claimed it, so credit to him for that. But yeah, I thought I thought in the second half particularly, I didn't think anyone was awful, really. No, a few below par, but some, as I say, mate, when you, we said it against Sheffield.
United,
whatever, they're not watching this. When you're not playing well, it's not going, and you're mid-table, to still have that fight of, you know, wanting to come back into a game and win.
Yeah, and, exactly. And, you know, they really needed a result. They really did. And, you know, so right. I think that's certainly one that's going to live long in the memory bank. Mm. I was chatting to Brad, actually, Cherries fan in the North Stand. He was saying that, and I didn't kind of realise this at the time, but it was mad watching Andoni point Tav into the box with 2 minutes of injury time to go instead of directing him into the corner.
So Andoni.
It just shows you what Andoni is. And it almost cost us because they got a free kick shortly afterwards. It's fun, he said, but scary at the same time. There you can see the stats.
I love fun and scary.
On screen, yeah, fun and scary is good. We're like Thorpe Park, aren't we?
Just about to say, it's like Thorpe Park.
Were you? Yeah. We are such a duo.
One mind.
60% possession as to their 40. And yeah, you can see the shots on some of them happened in the first half. So it wasn't as bad as we all think. But we've got to arrest that kind of... you know, counter-attacking problem that we've got when teams turn us around and go forward like they did. But look, we came away, thankfully, unscathed. And we have got the points in the bag, mate. Yeah. And things are looking good, but there are things that he'll be watching, I'm sure, on the DVDs or MP4s, whatever, back afterwards, and be thinking, need to change that, need to sort it out.
It's almost the best thing in a weird way is if you want to develop as a team, you want to be getting the results, obviously, because that's your bread and butter and you need to do it. But when there is little problems, you think, oh, they know they've still got loads to work on. Mm. So, you know, if you're, no disrespect to Luton, but if you're 3-0 down to another side, maybe, you know, they have a bit more quality to see it out. Yeah. So, and obviously we've seen that. It's weird because I don't think, certainly for 90 minutes, we haven't been brilliant in the last three. And we haven't lost a game. And the one we drew, we were 2-0 down in. So, yeah, really impressive from that side of it, but there's still a lot in there that you think can work on, which is a good thing, mate, because it's going to keep them all on their toes. I'd say the middle of the pitch, obviously you got Dom, but I think the middle of the pitch in Lewis, Cook and Christie feels nailed on. So you think that's the only position that's nailed on, but then you go, yeah, but hang on, Adams is back.
I was about to say Tyler Adams here. So
little cameo was brilliant, by the
way. Tix was breaking out into... yeah. The Star Spangled Banner halfway through. Well done, Tiggs. That was superb. Are you in the school choir? You must have been when you was a kid, yeah? That was very, very good. So gives you an option. But Kirk, again, made a good point on Twitter. Like, you know, Alex Scott, we don't quite know how he fits in at the moment. But do you think the opportunity is there for an Adams and Scott combo? So you've got a number six, you've got a number eight, and that might be the solution to making that work, because ultimately they are the future, aren't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked as well. We might see it this season, but I wouldn't be shocked if Andoni puts Christie higher again, like he did at the start of the season. I remember there was, I can't remember exactly when it was, but everyone was raving about Christie's performances playing deeper. He said in one interview that he still saw Ryan Christie as a number 10.
Right.
Because of his press, I think. We know he ain't got the numbers in terms of goals, but, you know, Clive's got a few, but, you know, do you think Scott would get us a low ball goals? Probably not either. So I think I think he likes Christie. You can imagine Christie and Solanke doing that press.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't shock me if you see kind of a Christie, Cook, Scott, Christie, Cook. And I still think, at the moment, Scott was brilliant when Cook had the suspension.
Yeah.
So he got sent off, didn't he, against Wolves?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Because he was playing, and at the moment, Lewis Cook's been so good. At the moment, I think that Alex Scott is a Lewis Cook understudy. At the moment.
Yeah, he is.
Because there was a game where we left Christie out, it might have been in the cup, I think, where they played together and they didn't work.
Well, that could be that. Yeah, that might be the same for Max Aarons and Adam Smith when Max is back as well.
Yeah, and I think he is back in training, yeah, so that's a good time. We've got obviously a while now to the next game. But I always say this, you can talk about your best 11 and it's fun to do and stuff like that. It's always in context of the game. You're not going to play the same way against Sheffield United as you are against Manchester City. You're never going to have a time where every single man in your squad is 100% fit.
Yeah.
You're always going to have to rotate. He likes using his squad. He makes changes quite early often. So I don't think it matters that much. Yeah. He'll keep it fresh. He'll keep it going. And there will be times this season, now I think, with the last 10 games, that you'll see February in the 10, and we might suddenly go, I'll tell you what, we've got number 10 here.
Yeah.
You don't know, and David Brooks can play there when he comes back.
My
so
goodness.
There's still loads of options, mate. Jane Nantley's already said he's excited for us to see him back next season. So
Phil Billings, says Heather on the live chat.
I think Phil Billing's shown that he's a quality footballer for us over a number of years, and without Phil Billing last season, we wouldn't be in this league.
And without Phil Billing this season, we don't know what would happen to Tom Lockyer. And by the way, really nice applause all around the ground for when he came on later on in the game as well. But yeah, you're right, football-wise...
He's a class player. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a few when you change the system that you think, oh, does it suit him? And I'm not sure at the moment, still, you know, but Philip Billing's been written off before, by the way. We thought we were, and then suddenly he was playing on the 10 and we're like, oh my God, he's amazing.
Yeah.
For some reason, it doesn't feel like it's fitting, does it?
No.
The system and Philip Billing. And you could say the same for, you know, Kiefer Moore, for example. Sure. It's going to happen, but he's defied us before, Philip Billing, so let's not write him off. And as you say, mate, poignantly, that I was glad he came on in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. So 10 games left. We got 35 points on the board, 5 at home. Everton, Palace, Man United, Brighton, Brentford, away, Wolves, Luton, Villa, Arsenal and Chelsea. Is 50 points doable? Is getting more than 46 doable?
Yes.
So 12 points needed to get 47.
So that would be our best ever. Best. What did we get last season?
39, I think.
Yeah, that was it, because we never quite got to the four. We're doing that. I think we've got 10 games to go.
Yeah.
I think we've already scored 14 more goals in the league than we did the whole of last season.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously it remains to be seen in terms of conceded, because there's still a lot way to go. But fixtures-wise, you know me, don't look into it too much, because, you know, we've just seen, you know, we didn't expect to drop points against Sheffield United, for example, and then we didn't expect to go to Old Trafford and smash them. So I think we'll be up and down for the rest of the season. Mm. But I think we've got a good chance to get 46. Don't know if that'll get you ninth, might do. We're certainly going to beat last season's. I'll be surprised if we didn't.
And Dom Solanke's going to be scoring more, and at the moment he's only one goal away from equaling our best tally, which is Josh King in the second season of the Premier League.
How you doing, Josh? All right?
I'm sure he's doing fine.
No, I think, I think it's all looking positive now. I think we'll end the season and go, this could be our best ever in terms of points, in terms of goals, in terms of finish. It could really be that way. And I just can't believe we've got 10 games to go and we're nowhere near it again. We're so far clear. Yeah. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Who was your man of the match on Telegram?
Semenyo.
Who would be your man of the match in terms of the stats on who scored?
Semenyo.
So look, it is Antoine Semenyo, 9.2. Wow, some really good figures there.
Don't shock me, you said that Kurt mentioned on fan cams, Unal, really good rating off the bench as well. Lewis and Christie and obviously Dom. So yeah, they're kind of all expected. The fullback struggled a little bit more, and Alex Scott as well. Interestingly for them, another one that didn't quite get the highest, it was actually some of the defenders, but the other one that I thought looked quite lively, got the first goal, was Chong. He's going to be big for them. And it's worth mentioning for Luton that, because I think they showed a lot going forward, they haven't got Adebayo, who is their best striker, and they're missing a few defenders, so there's still a lot of positive signs for them.
That was cobbled together, it really was.
And
look, there's going to be a video coming up over the international break where we are going to get our prediction hats on. The predictor.
Are we ever going to look back at our previous, or can we just get rid of that?
What, do you mean our league table prediction?
Yeah.
We'll have a look at it if you want.
Do we have to? No. But this is... I think I put Wolves 19th. Can we just get rid of that? Put it in the bin.
It's mad, isn't it?
Fair play.
I think one thing we do with this one is obviously go through each match week and we predict every single score, and then we show you the league table at the end of it. Oh my goodness, that's going to be exciting, and there's going to be a few away day shows on the way. Tom, that was an absolute pleasure to talk about. Probably loads that we missed out, and thank you to everyone on Telegram that joined us live as well. We truly appreciate it. What an evening.
I remember at half time thinking, God, I don't want to do this second look rubbish. It was I can't bother to talk about this. And then I woke up and was just like,
those were his words. I'm pumped.
Were they?
Yeah.
I'm always pumped. Always pumped for the boys. No, really, really pleased. Really pleased. It was a lovely evening, mate.
Lovely.
Great comeback. Just, that's what you want. That's what you want from football, mate. You want to be on the edge of your seat. You want to be just exciting stuff. And now I've gone from going, oh, I could fancy a little break, this is crap, to, we're not game for ages. Gutted. But nice little break for them all. Get a few more bodies back as well. The only one we haven't heard too much about, which I'm a bit worried if it's a contract situation, is Kelly. I don't really know how far along he is.
Yeah.
But he'll make a little shout out, by the way. Nice to see him come on the pitch.
Yeah.
And they said afterwards, because it was Christie didn't get injured, but he had to go off, didn't he? Because he went down. And apparently Andoni did not want 30 seconds with 10 men. That's the only reason he brought James Hill on.
Wow.
And you know,
love Andoni.
What a guy. But all the best to Luton, because I still think you'll be fine, and I'll still be sorry, Dave, because I said this to you before, didn't I? I don't really care about Forrest, but I like Dave, so I can't. But I'm sorry, I do want Luton to do it.
And then I also like the other Dave who we met as well.
Yeah.
Gregory, so.
Yeah, I do really want Luton to do it, and that would be a good game for me. I still think they've shown enough. They've shown enough in that game.
Maybe Palace will dip and go down.
Whoa.
What?
Lerma.
Don't worry about that. Anyway, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Everton.
In the next one. Not the Cherries.
Not the Cherries. Yeah, get rid of Everton. We go to Arkles anyway, don't we? Liverpool.
Billy, left footed. It's a cheeky one. Square!
Podcast Network.